You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, It Crossed My Mind. And I think almost all countries in the world set aside at some point, sometime in a year or throughout the year, maybe more than one, a time to remember. And one of the disadvantages I personally have is I was born either too early or too late. And I remember as a young child, 7, 8, somewhere in there, 9 years of age. And I remember that we had family and we had friends, especially friends in the neighborhood. And when you're a kid, you don't completely understand what's going on. But I remember teenage boys and 20-year-old kids and just things going on around me and a war breaking out and people leaving and then conversation that they weren't coming back. And when you're a child, you see the tears, you see the reality, you get a glimpse of that, but you don't feel the full impact, especially of having to go. And I know sitting here today in this room even, there are men and women, and some that I've spoken with, men in particular in here, who have seen things that you wouldn't want anybody to ever see. I see a Navy SEAL sitting over here, and I don't know what he's seen, but there are probably things that he's seen he can't even explain to his own wife, and that you wouldn't even want her to have in her head. And war is a terrible thing. And in reading for today and preparing for today, it is interesting to me that the generals, if you read in even Eisenhower, who became president, after they have experienced war, they usually hate war in a way that is indescribable. You go look at the First World War that was fought basically a lot of it in trenches for long periods of time. And the just disaster, not just of death, but the stench of death, the bodies that were strewn that never got buried, the disease, the famine, the smells, just all of it. And anybody who ever survived it would tell you it is the most awful thing you can ever see. And today we say, well, wars have changed and it's all weaponry and bombs. You know what? Somebody's got to pull those triggers. And machines can't do it all. And sooner or later, eyeballs meet eyeballs and somebody detonates or pulls a trigger and somebody on the other side dies. And that stuff is a soldier you have to carry around. Now, is there a way to live on this planet without war? I'll tell you why I don't think so. Because the Bible itself predicts that more war is coming. There is no way around there being war. You can pray for peace, and I'm all about praying for peace. But war is, was, and will be. One of the great dangers, though, in wars is that people like myself who never had to fight for anything and have enjoyed the benefits of someone else living, someone else signing up, somebody else going and dying, is that I can take for granted the road that's been paved with the bones and the bodies of men and women who paid the price. And no matter where you live on the planet, even if you don't believe that that country's cause was just, when men go to war, either because they're forced or especially when they sign up and they say, this cause is so great and I believe in my country or the cause to such a degree that I am willing to give my very life for this, then that is worth honoring. The danger is that we forget. And we set up days, we set up memorial days, and people go and lay wreaths. And if you're scanning your TV channel when all these ceremonies go on, you know, it's interesting, if you got nothing to do with it, you go, oh, well, Memorial Day stuff. But if you got a grandfather, a dad, a brother, somebody who died, you stop. And there's something different about a wreath being laid. One of the guys in our church was, I think, part of the group that guarded, I think he ran the group that guarded the tomb of the unknown soldier. You say, well, why would you bother that? You know, they don't even know who's in there. Why would you bother? Because people matter and people die and that matters, especially when they die for a cause. And whether you believe in the cause or not, people die. Now, you say, well, what does Memorial Day, remembering the dead, have anything to do with God or the Bible or church? It's the whole deal. there would be no coming of Jesus. He would not have to have lived. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have been buried, raised from the dead. He wouldn't even have to bother to come to earth if there had been no sin. And what happened when sin was committed is that war was declared. The devil said, you know what? I will be equal to you, God. I'll reign. I'll rule. I'm going to show you. And so he comes along with Adam and Eve the same way he comes along with us. And he tempts us and he tries to get us to engage with the God of the universe and say, I don't need you, or I found something better. He's doomed and he knows it. But if he can get Adam and Eve, he can get one of us to say, I can do it by myself, or I figured out another way, then all of a sudden we are at war. Now, we know scripturally that the weapons of our warfare, the battle is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. It's principalities, it's powers, it's the rulers of darkness in high places. There is a battle going on every day that you can't even see. And the battle is not for property. The battle is not ultimately eternally about geography, though a lot of it is in the scriptures. It talks about Jerusalem, Israel, and all that. You say there's geography there. But the ultimate battle is for the souls of men and women. And in this battle, somebody showed up. The only guy who could fight the battle and win it and gain our freedom showed up. And people say, well, you know what? I go back to that church and, you know, I just wish they'd talk about something other than Jesus. Why don't you read poetry or philosophize or read something, but get off the Jesus thing? You know what? We got Jack without Jesus. If Jesus isn't the deal, let's go home. Let's go get us a six-pack, a keg, whatever, buy a boat, go to the lake every weekend. Don't bother coming down here. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. Now, nobody's asking me to die physically, but yet somebody is asking me to die. And at some point in your life, when you are reminded and you're aware of what has happened to get you this great salvation, this great freedom that we have spiritually, then when you remember that, and then he comes along and says, look, all I'm asking you is for you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Die to yourself, lay your life down, and let me live my life through you, and it'll be better. It'll be far, it'll be exceedingly greater than anything you could ever do by yourself. Lay it down. This is a worthy cause. Follow me every day. Let me read you a few quotes. Calvin Coolidge, 30th President of the United States, said, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. And Simonides said this, if noble death be virtue's chiefest part, we above all men are by fortune blessed. Striving with freedom's crown to honor Greece, we died and here in endless glory rest. George Patton prayed a prayer, World War I and II, in that period of time when he served. Listen to this. God of our fathers, who by land and sea have ever led us to victory, please continue your inspiring guidance. In this, the greatest of all conflicts, strengthen my soul so that the weakening instinct of self-preservation, which besets all of us in battle, shall not blind me to my duty, to my own manhood, to the glory of my calling, and to my responsibility to my fellow soldiers. Grant to our armed forces that disciplined valor and mutual confidence, which ensures success in war. Let me not mourn for the men who have died fighting, but rather let me be glad that such heroes have lived. If it be my lot to die, let me do so with courage and honor in a manner which will bring the greatest harm to the enemy. And please, O Lord, protect and guide those I shall leave behind. Give us the victory, Lord. Now I read that and say, wow, that's cool and poetic and inspiring. And he was going off into some battle and that was his prayer. What is your prayer every day when you go into battle? You say, well, what battle are you talking about? The battle for your life, the battle for your soul, the battle for your day, the battle for your family, your wife, your children, if you have them, the battle for your future, the battle for your impact on the planet, if you'll get the heck out of the way and let God do his thing. And I wake up every day, and sometimes the battle rages when you're sleeping. So you better pray before you go to sleep sometimes, because the battle is even in your head. And the devil says, well, if I can't get you while you're conscious, I'll get you while you're sleeping. I'm coming after you. He's got a plan. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has a plan for my life. And I wake up and bumble through the day, throw on some boxers and a t-shirt, and go out into the battlefield. Not a soldier on the planet would do that, and we do it every day. And we come home broken, bruised, tattered, cut to a million pieces, shot holes everywhere. Well, God, what happened? What do we pray before we go into battle? You say, well, what do we pray? How about the Lord's Prayer? If you don't know anything else, pray that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm starting out praising you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Already just saying that, it's not my agenda. It's not my plan. It's your kingdom come. It's your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, I am subject to you. I'm under authority. I'll do whatever you say do. I want what's best for you in heaven, not for me in here. Take care of me today. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And listen to this one. And lead us not into temptation. I'm telling you right up front, God, I don't want to go there. It's happened every day of my life for as long as I can remember. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil or the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. If that's all you can get out, pray that. That'll change your day. But it is a war and somebody is after you and it matters who wins. Now, the tragedy of the Christian life in some ways is that the battle has really already been fought in a way. The victory has already been won. You got to wake up every day and just pick a side. Now, imagine if when you were a kid, you're going to play basketball or baseball, whatever it was, and they were picking teams, and you could not only decide what team you wanted to be on. They didn't pick you. You could pick the team, and before you picked the team, you were told the outcome of the game and who won the game. And you say, well, you know what? Not only do I want to be on that team, but the reason I want to be on that team is because I already know that team's going to win, and I love being on a winning team. When you wake up every day, you can pick a winning team and say, God, I don't want to go through all this. I don't want to be defeated again tonight. I'm going to win this war today, and the way I'm going to win it is to trust you, to follow you, to obey you, to submit to you, and I'm picking your side. It may go a different way than I thought it would go. It may not look the same, sound the same, feel the same, but when I get to the end, I know I'm on the right side. I pick your team. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I recommend you read Hebrews, the whole Bible for that matter, but I don't have time to read the whole thing, so let me try to start here. Let's go to chapter 1, and let me just read you a few sentences here, and then we'll jump into chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and following. And remember that this is written, no one's really positive who wrote it, but it's written to Jewish Christians who are struggling with whether they should be in the synagogue sacrificing anymore. They've got some confusion, and the writer here is trying to clear some of this stuff up, but the basics are still the same. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And he goes here and quotes some things, what the Father had said to the Son. And then let's jump over to chapter 2 and verse 1. Given what he said in chapter 1, I'd go back and read it on your own sometime. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. In other words, don't forget what you've been told. You'll drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, who was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, now listen to this, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now listen to why he came. Why was he made a little lower than the angels? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him for whom all things are and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, and listen to this phrase, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I love the fact that Jesus is referred to as the captain of our salvation. And this word means, it's a word that in Greek means a leader or an originator, a pioneer, someone who blazes a trail, makes a path somewhere. There's some great old war movies out there. Braveheart is probably one of my favorites. It's a little gruesome. It's got some violence in it. I'd warn you about that if you haven't seen it. But in Braveheart, where is the leader in the movie all the time? Is he on a white horse on a hill? Is he watching the battle from a safe place? Sword drawn in the front of the pack, leading them into the fray, the captain of their salvation. You are dealing with a God. The Father may be seated on his throne, but the Son came, lived, died, fought a battle that nobody could fight but him, was defeated, as it were, it appeared, but it turns out that his defeat was really his victory. Because you can't be raised from the dead unless you're dead. And he had to die, and as it says right here, what did he do? He might taste death for everyone. The death that Jesus died, I will not have to die. Because of what Jesus did for me, I will never be separated from God. I may be separated, I possibly, if Jesus doesn't come back first, will be separated from this body, but I will never be separated from God. Because he tasted death for me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there's some other places, obviously, where this is recorded. Once we get into it, you'll see in the Gospels. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and they've been having some trouble with a simple thing called communion, the Lord's Supper. And he's explained to them how they're not supposed to do it and the consequences of taking it lightly. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And in a way, every time we do the Lord's Supper, communion, it's Memorial Day. He said, I'm setting up a system, I'm setting up a meal, I'm setting up a plan, because if I don't, you didn't have to die, I am having to die, you'll forget that I died. You say, well, how's that possible? Look at us. We get a little far away, as the second chapter of Hebrews states, we begin to drift. We lose sight of so great a salvation, and we forget what he did, and he puts this thing in place and says, you're going to remember, and when you stop and think about it, it will bring to remembrance who you are and what was done for you. Then look at verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." One of the most amazing experiences I have ever had. And oddly enough, it happened on my honeymoon. It worked out where we were able to go to some amazing places on our honeymoon. And it was great. Rebecca was able to go with me. No kids, yes, no kids. And I may have shared this story before, but I even went online and pulled up the website for this particular place where we went. And I'm telling you, just seeing the pictures knocked me down again. We rented a car in Paris. And we drove, we're staying at another place in northwestern France. And you think, well, you know, it's your honeymoon. Do you really want to go to Normandy? But we went. And again, I have no experience with D-Day except what I know in history. But we drove to the cemetery in Normandy. And I, to this day, cannot explain to you what happened to me. We drove in the parking lot. And something sits down on you that is unexplainable. There is a reverence. There is a silence. There is a sacredness about that piece of dirt where thousands of soldiers are buried. And you get out of the car and it is quiet. You're afraid to even speak. It's such a holy place. And you walk around the monuments and you look out over the cemetery. And that's where it crossed my mind. White crosses, a sea of white crosses, some stars of David. And you realize that a battle was won, but somebody died. And a place is set aside to remember those people who died. Now, I try very hard to explain and try to not forget what happened to me and what happened for me. There is no white cross in Jerusalem marking a grave because there is no grave. It is empty. But somebody died on a battlefield a couple thousand years ago. And what perplexes me is that I can drive into a cemetery in Normandy and have all that hit me. What is wrong with me that I cannot speak of the captain of my salvation and that not hit me again? Something should knock us down when someone speaks of your Jesus.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for what I don't even completely understand. And I pray, Father, for each of us that we would not forget the supreme cost of freedom for a nation, the men and women who have fallen in battle. But Father, that we would also go way beyond that, the price of freedom, Lord, for a world that is lost without you, and the life of one man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died the perfect sacrifice, was buried, and then raised from the dead, all to conquer our ultimate enemies, sin, death, the grave. Father, may there be a reverence in our hearts and through our lives, a respect, a remembrance, and as Holy Spirit, you bring these things to mind, and it crosses our mind what happened for us. May it not be just something that we rejoice over and are humbled by, but may it be something that we declare to others and are willing to share, that if he did it for us, he did it for them as well. And the captain of our salvation can be the captain of their salvation. Father, help us live this day having picked a side, a winning side. And for anybody who doesn't know you, Lord, may today be the day that somehow their eyes are opened. I can't open them, Lord. Their ears are unstopped. Their heart's broken. They're aware of the great price that was paid at Calvary, on that hill, on that old rugged cross. Father, may somebody's life be changed today. Somebody reach out the hands of their heart and say, Father, for some reason I understand now. I haven't seen it or understood it before, but I see now that it is my sin that screwed my life up and got you killed. That you live for me, you died for me, you were buried and raised from the dead for me. I accept the forgiveness of my sin, this gift of eternal life that you offer free of charge. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me from the inside out. Use my life. Thank you for giving me something worth losing my life over in order to find it. Father, we worship you, we praise you. We thank you that though there are more wars to come, even wars in heaven, that one day Satan will be locked up forever, There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more war, no more pain, just eternity with you. And our prayer is even so, come Lord Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.